Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And like, I think last week we kind of, I spoke about, if you remember, asking the Holy Spirit to train us, to help us, and to train us to how to give our testimony from the perspective of heaven. I wasn't even sure what I meant, to be honest, and probably you didn't know what I meant either, but at the end of it, I'm kind of kidding with you, because what I said was this, was that very often our testimony, our personal testimony of how we came to know the Lord and our journey to that point can be very subjective. And so therefore, it isn't always even necessarily grounded in truth, if you like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I believe sometimes it's more important that we bring the testimony of what God has done and is still doing. It's very important that we have an up-to-the-minute testimony.
Yeah.
Amen? That our testimony is still active and alive and real and relevant and radical. Not enough just to keep going back to. It's great to go back. It's fantastic to go back. It's great to have milestones in our lives and memories that we can attach to and things that we can even draw faith from in the sense of that we know what God did before he'll do again. So not even our testimony, but it's even good to draw that from other people's testimonies, especially from Scripture. We know that what God did for Moses, he'll do for us.
Amen.
Amen. Moses can live 120 years. Well, why quit at 118? Well, I'll just throw that out there. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's real for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me just read a couple of scriptures. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In the New Living Translation, it kind of puts it slightly differently. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. Saving, don't you love to see the power of God at work?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. There's another few verses I want to read here. Galatians, yes, I said I would maybe do this first. Let's kick this off and giving kind of personal testimony, but again, trying to bring it. I could give you my story. I can stand here right now and give you my story. It'd be a long story. I could and maybe bring little bits of that in, and no doubt we will, but I want to keep it up to the minute. I had a long journey. I can start from the start. I can tell you I was born in a church of school in Manston. I wasn't even born in a hospital, you know. I was, and I can tell you as well, I've never spent a night in a hospital in my whole in 60 and a half years. And that's just the way it is because I wasn't born there. So, hallelujah. But Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12 and 15 to 16. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then it says something else in verse 15, it says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. See, when you begin to get the perspective of heaven on your life, you begin to realize that God's plans for you started long before. Maybe even the first time you've experienced conviction of sin. I can remember that when it was in the tent hall in Glasgow at a crusade. I'd gone with my father. I was about 12 years old, and it was the first time that I was brought up in church. I was brought up in a home where God was given his place. Both my parents were saved in the revival in 1939 on this island, and so they always had that extra dimension of experience that they still kind of hungered for, if you know what I'm saying. And so I grew up in that kind of atmosphere. But and Jesus was, well, he was part of the family in that respect. But then I go to this place, this in the Tent Hall in Glasgow. I think it was in the Salt Market, Janice, ever it was in Glasgow. I remember it was, because it's a God moment, you remember things a bit. I remember the evangelist's name. His name was Don Summers. And the Tent Hall, it was full of people, and we were upstairs. We got there just before it started. We ended up upstairs in the balcony. I remember this man preached a message. I'd never experienced an altar call before. Because of the tradition, we grew up and there was no such thing as altar calls. And so you were just kind of left with the message, you know. And for many people, that was sufficient. But I'd never experienced that before. And all of a sudden, there's an invitation being given. But God began to work on me. I just felt the Holy Spirit pulling on me. And I wanted to go down the front with all these other people who were going down the front. But I was 12 years old. I was incredibly shy as it was. And I thought, oh, well, I can't go down there because I'd have to walk through all these people. Sitting there, I thought, okay, I want to say yes to this. And so I didn't go down the front, but there was something in me saying yes to this, to what I was experiencing of God's drawing on me. And then I said to my father, and he said, are you going tomorrow night? Because there was another meeting the next night. He said, yeah, I'm going. I said, can I come with you? He said, yeah, sure. So I went with him the next night, and that night again, I felt that same drawing on me, the Holy Spirit just trying to lift me out of my seat, if you like, and get me to, but you've got to make that decision, have you, and make that choice. So at that point, I said, okay, yes, I said yes to this. And on the way home, I said to my father, I said, can I come to the prayer meeting with you? And the prayer meeting, I think, was on a Thursday night then, in his church. And he said, well, I think he knew them off the road first. And then he said, yes, of course. And so I went to the prayer meeting, and I know I've shared this, some of you have heard this before, but the average age of the attendees at that prayer meeting was about probably 84 and three quarters or something, I don't know, something around that age. And most of them were older ladies who smelled a little bit of mothballs and stuff. But when they were there, hallelujah. But at 12 years old, I didn't really feel like I kind of, I don't know, there's no excuses. You know what I mean? So I went for a couple of weeks, two or three weeks, and then I just kind of tailed off. And from there, my life kind of actually went off in another direction. And that kind of rebellion kicked in and all that sort of stuff. And that, you don't need to hear any more of that garbage, basically. But when you get this perspective of heaven, you begin to realize that God's plan for your life began. In fact, in Jeremiah, it says in chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, not even from your mother's womb did God separate us, but before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, I set you apart, I ordained and appointed you a prophet to the nations. So that's great for Jeremiah, but that can be our, we need to get a hold of that. That's our testimony. Yeah. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. If that's the way he felt about Jeremiah, then that's the way he feels about us. All right, you don't have to agree with me, but that's okay. Occasional amen or something, you know. Hallelujah. You see, when you get heaven's perspective, you begin to see that all God, I'm just asking the Lord to help me with this over the last couple of weeks, you begin to see that all that he has ever wanted is for us to get the revelation of his goodness. Yes. And come home to his plan for our life. This plan that has always existed. This plan that has always been there. This plan that he has never changed his mind about. And that's why I'm talking about when our personal testimony can be very subjective, because we all go there by different routes, if you like. You know? Is that true or is that true? Mm-hmm. I could share some things and you might identify with some of the things. You could share some things and I could identify with some of these things, but some of the things I shared you wouldn't be able to identify with, and vice versa. But when we begin to realize that for every single one of us, God has this plan. Amen. And he's continually seeking to get our attention. I said before, if you're looking for him, you can't miss him, because he's already looking for you. The people out there that we are here to share this testimony with, because, and I've said it before, your personal testimony is probably the most powerful weapon that you have in your hands, because no one can argue you out of it, because you were there. Amen. Because you know what happened, and you know the experiences you've had of God, and you know the encounters you've had with him. And people might try and argue out of that, but they can't, because it's yours. You've got it. But this testimony that we need to bring it from that perspective to people, for them to know that God's already looking for them. If they're looking for him, they can't miss him, because he's already looking for them. He's already on their case. Hallelujah. He's had plans for them even before they were formed in their mother's womb. That's pretty powerful stuff. Because God, he doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity. Amen? So he doesn't really think about Katrina Stewart being born on the 4th of January 1963. Don't do the sums. And so she's just had a birthday as well. Hallelujah. Happy birthday. Come on. So not that long ago. But anyway, but he had this plan from all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. And when Jesus was the Lamb slain, we were singing about the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God even had a contingency plan, if you like, in regards to man messing up and missing it and getting it wrong and blowing it. And the first generation did that. But God didn't quit. Amen? Yeah. There's a lot of people out there whose lives have gone on a trajectory that has taken them into all kinds of chaos. Mayhem. Mm-hmm. They need to know that God has a plan for them. And that the plan that he had for them had none of that stuff in it. And all they have to do, just like the prodigal son, is they have to come to themselves. They have to get that realization that, hang on a minute, I'm in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. That revelation that they have a father who's waiting for them, whose heart is towards them, who's wooing them and by his spirit is calling them home. So when it says that son came to himself, I don't believe he came to himself by himself. Mm-hmm. And circumstances might have had something to do with it, but they didn't have everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why when we give our testimony, it can be very subjective. And a lot of people, they love to listen to testimonies that are full of mayhem and chaos and personal stories of all the stuff they did and all the stuff that we shouldn't even be talking about, really, because they're the works of darkness and God gets no glory out of these. But we made testimony about that. And then we lift some people up and we say, well, they've got a great testimony. What does that mean? That really they were living pretty ugly lives. We turned it into that. And yet, for me, I don't know many of the full testimony of many, but I know my wife's testimony. And I know, to me, she has one of the most powerful testimonies ever. She never went down that road. She came to know the Lord when she was, 10 years, 11 years old, and never wandered off into that stuff. For me, that is the kind of testimony that proves the keeping power of God, not just the saving power, but the keeping power of God. Amen. And you don't have to hit a bump in the road. You don't have to go off and do what I did, and into that place of rebellion, into that place of allowing your life just to be out of control. Hallelujah. But it's not a competition. Amen. It's not a competition. And it's been wrong of us to exalt people's testimony in regards to the journey that they took to come to that place. I'll just throw that in for free. But when you get heaven's perspective, you begin to see that all God has ever wanted for us is for us to get that revelation of his goodness and come home to his plan for our life. And for me, I could tell you how I came to that point of salvation and all of the stuff. But I want to tell you, and I just want to kind of fast forward it a little bit, because as I said, I was brought up in a particular tradition. You can't grow up in a tradition without picking up some of the tradition. In fact, without your life being really pretty infused with that, if you like. And your understanding comes from that. And so you have all these filters in place that even when God is dealing with you, that you don't always, there's static in there, if you know what I'm saying. And so you don't always catch what God's heart really is for you. And so you have some truth but some of it is just it's fake news. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and there's a lot of fear that doesn't necessarily have to be there. Oh, it just depends what tradition you were brought up. But I want to tell you, receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then beyond that, discovering the integrity of God's word is what changed my life forever. Amen. And I want to kind of start there, because that's where my real testimony begins. The testimony of really discovering what God's plan is, what God's heart is. That we're no longer here to live a natural life with a little bit of religion, with a little bit of religious ritual, with a little bit of religious observance, with a little bit of trying to scratch that religious itch or perform to a certain standard or keep a certain group of rules or whatever. We're here to live a supernatural life. A supernatural life. No longer bound by the natural laws. that we were bound with before. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the testimony that people need to hear. That's what they need to hear. It starts there. And for me, to be honest, see, integrity, and I mentioned this last week in that kind of introduction, but integrity is when what you say and what you do are the same. And when I discovered, and I'll touch on this a little bit, of how I came to that discovery, and how it's an ongoing discovery. It's an ongoing journey of discovery. It hasn't ended, don't for a minute think that. But when I discovered that God's word had integrity, that what God says is what God will do.
Yeah.
Not some of the time. You don't have integrity if you only do what you say some of the time. In fact, people very soon begin to realize they can't trust you. You know, some people do God that way. They've come to a position where they're not sure if they can trust him or not. I'm talking about people who've been born again. They're still in that kind of halfway house of not sure, well, I don't know if I could trust them with this. I think I can trust them to, with this ticket he's given me, stamp heaven for the end, at the end. But I think I can trust them for that. But all of the other stuff in between, I'm not really sure about that. That's really a pretty awful condition to be in. And then when that happens, then you begin to roll in all of these man-made theologies, all these structures start to come in. You know, some he does, some he doesn't, all of that, like Calvinism, and it becomes this structure that you, this filter that you look at everything through. Everything that happens has to be God's will. You get this fake, faulty understanding of the sovereignty of God. So everything that happens must be God's will because it happened. And I'm one of his children. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. So if it happens to me, it must be God's will. The problem is people didn't get that from God's word. Or they got it from what somebody else said about God's word. Come on. What did Paul say? He said, I didn't learn this from men. Paul spent several years sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the best teachers in Israel. But when he came to the point of having a living encounter with the risen Jesus, he said, I need to bin that. My history.
Yeah.
Put it in the recycle bin. And you hit, shh. Who knows God invented recycling? Hallelujah. He can even take all of the nasty things that happened in your life. This is what makes him God. Well, this is one of the aspects of his character that highlights the fact that, hey, this is God we're dealing with. You can take all of the bad stuff in your life and recycle it and turn it around for good. Come on, son. Is that recycling or is that recycling? He invented recycling. Hallelujah. What did Joseph say to his brothers? What you did to me, you meant it for evil, but God has turned this around for good. And what good was it? Wow. Come on. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll come to that a little bit. I remember one day I was driving my milk truck round the west side. I was just coming to Braga. And I was just turning up into the square there in Braga, where James used to live, where Kirsty lives now. And the Lord said, pull over. And when I heard him say pull over, I knew he'd pull over and get my wee notebook. I was carrying my wee New Testament and my wee notebook with me. And he said, I turned in the New Testament, he said, turn to Galatians chapter 1, I turned there and I read these verses and the Lord said, boom, this is a rhema word for you right now. I'm going to teach you, but I'm not going to teach you, I'm going to give you revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, so I mean, you hear these things and you think, well, what does that mean? I'm saying, because I'm a Pentecostal now, you know what I mean? But it's still, man, I'm still on this journey and I'm still working through a lot of stuff because after I left Presbyterian tradition, I started picking up some Pentecostal tradition. Some of that was more life controlling, to be honest. Some of it was. A lot of it was liberating, but some of it was also very controlling and very boxy. But I was then, I just come out of that, and I'm in this place, and God says, I want you to hear from me here right now. Anyway, hallelujah. We'll try not to do too much subjective stuff, okay? I can see you're enjoying it. But what really, really changed my life was what came out of that kind of, from that starting point, if you like. And I've always been hungry for God's word. I've always, from the moment I was born again, devouring God's word, just reading it through, reading it through, reading it through, reading it through, reading it through. And that is bound to impact upon your life. It has to. But you also need not just the word, but the Holy Spirit. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it kind of gave you this booster. You know what I'm saying? It changed even your ability to understand the word. It moved up a level, if you like. You got a upgrade. Holy Spirit upgrade. And the word, you begin to read the word from a different level. And so I continue just reading the word, reading the word, reading the word. But when I came to this point, because you see, as you're reading the word's doing something. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You will be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so as you're reading the word is doing something. But it's also challenging things. Because the word comes and it collides with your tradition. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? I still experience that. It's like, ouch, you know, come on. But it's all the word always comes to bring you to a new place of freedom in your life. For the Holy Spirit and the word together. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But the Holy Spirit never does anything apart from the word. God speaks and then the Holy Spirit does something with what God says. Amen. And so eventually through this process I come to this point where I realize, like, unequivocally, no arguments anymore, no more debates. I came to that place of realizing the integrity of God's word. And that really changed everything. I think I was still in that Pentecostal denominational setting at that time. And that got me into trouble there. No, I'm not talking about being a heretic or anything, or saying something really crazy or wacko. I'm just saying about, well, the Bible says that Jesus died so that everybody could be healed. Jesus provided healing for everybody. In fact, it's on your statement of faith. Aye, but. I said, well, I've got this problem right now. I'm just standing and believing God to heal me. Oh, yeah, but. I said, but, no more, no buts, it's got to be bar. I was saying, what do you make butter from? Milk. Cry out, desire, the sincere milk of the word. You'll get butter. Go for that margarine stuff. It's made of plastic. We don't want plastic. We don't want imitation. We want real. Amen. I said, well, this is what the word says, and I'm just going to stand what the word, aye, but. But on your statement of faith, it says that divine healing is provided for all in the, well, the word a bit wrong, atonement, but anyhow, they were halfway there. Aye, but. Well, I said, well, I'm just going to stand on it. And I discovered if you stand on the word, that God's word has integrity. That God will do exactly what he says. Now, just like when Jesus went around healing some people and you thought everybody would have been really excited, well, I discovered just the same thing. When you come back and say, I got my healing, not everybody's excited. Come on. And so through these experiences, I discovered that God's word has complete, total, and utter integrity. Yeah. You can trust in his word, yeah. And you'll be a fool to trust in anything else. Yeah. And we'll get that in a minute. You see, discovering the integrity of God's word versus the traditional presentation of God's word, and I want to say this, and I mean what I'm saying here, is literally like passing from death to life. You know what Paul said? He said the letter can kill. But the Spirit always brings life. Never separate the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. On either side. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
If you're calling something the Holy Spirit and it doesn't correspond to God's Word, well, there's a lot of spirits out there. And the rest of them are all deceiving, seducing spirits. And a seducing spirit, we need to understand, that's a very powerful thing. Seduction is seduction. You don't know you're being deceived. You don't know you're being seduced until it's too late, until you're under the influence of that and under the control of that. And I've seen about this over the past while. I've seen, when Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." I mean, that is, considering what she was being asked to do, considering how that was going to look to everybody else, considering how she was going to appear to everyone else in her community. "Let it be to me. I will grow a bump as an unmarried woman. I will take all of the flack attached to that. I'll take all of the nudge, nudge, wink, wink attached to that. I'll take all of the ostracism or ostracization or whatever you stretch that word out. I will take all of that. But just let it be to me according to your word." But I want to expand on that. And I think I might have touched this around Christmas time. I can't remember. But it just kind of flowed in me at that point. You see, Jesus, the Father didn't only have to find a Mary. He had to find a Joseph. A Joseph who would allow it to be to Mary according to his word. That's why it's so important. It's so important that you marry the right person. And if you let him, God won't let you marry the wrong person. If you don't go in there by your soul, but if you go in there by your spirit, you will never marry the wrong person. And I tell you, Katrina, man, she can be on my case sometimes. Man, I'm telling you, man. You don't know the half of it. I'm not about to tell any stories. But one thing I know, she has never, ever, ever, ever tried to take me away from what God has said. Never. Never. That tells me something. I married the right woman. Now, we've had to move in certain places. We've had to move through different places, through different experiences, and a lot of them weren't easy, and some of them were incredibly difficult. But not once has she said, "We shouldn't be doing it according to God's word." In fact, a few times she's pulled me back from jumping ship myself. Not really, kind of, but just been that, played around with it a little bit. Making noises, you know. I know you never make noises. So it's so important that you not only say what Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word," but you need to, if you're going to enter into a marriage relationship, you need to have someone. In this island, if you're a woman and you know you're called to preach, you need to know that you're going to marry someone who's going to let it be to you according to his word. Someone that's not going to shut you down. Come on. Someone who's going to encourage that. Someone who's going to stand with you in that. Hallelujah. Discovering the integrity of God's word versus the traditional presentation of God's word is literally like passing from death to life. Because that's what it is. All of a sudden you begin to realize, I've left the old life behind. The life that had nothing to look forward to at the end of it but death. And all of a sudden I've entered into this new life that never ends. That began the moment we were born again and never ends. It passes on. If you take your last breath, your last breath out just carries you straight into the presence of God. Your spirit goes straight back to the one who gave it. Hallelujah. Just like that. That's why we breathe in his presence and we breathe out his praise. Your last breath will be a breath of praise that will just, boom, take you straight into the courts of heaven where you'll be praising him forever. Hallelujah. And we don't have to be afraid of that. Amen. Glory to God. But we want to fulfill his plan for our life here before then.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Do we or do we not? Maybe you don't. Maybe you think it's too hard. Maybe you think it's too much of a challenge attached to it. No, no, no. Someone said to me, are you afraid of dying? I said, no, I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm afraid of dying before I've done everything I'm here to do. Yeah. Come on. Or I'll get the fear word out of it. I don't want to die until I've done everything that he commissioned me to do, that he called me and commissioned me. And he had this plan that he had from before I was even formed in my mother's womb. So I can tell you my personal story of how I came to the point of being born again. But I want to say something. It won't change your life. Do you hear that? It won't change your life. Even though I could relate to you how God's hand was upon my life all the way through that journey. And not only that, but my testimony isn't over yet. See people that write autobiographies when they're 24? Come on. Well, John Calvin wrote his Institutes before he was 28. It's almost like you had it all figured out at 28. Well, I'm coming up for 61. I ain't got it all figured out yet, so he must have been a much better man than me. But now the whole world, a large percentage of the church world is basing everything they believe on the guy who thought he had it all figured out by 28. Well, even common sense. You know the problem about common sense? It's not that common. Even common sense would tell you that, hang on a minute. My testimony isn't over yet, as I said before. It's an ongoing journey of discovery. Hallelujah. But let's go back to that point when I received the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit baptism, and then discovered that God's word is a now word. See, when you discover the integrity of God's word, you discover it's a now word. I'll tell you something, I'll just throw another little bit of personal subjective stuff in there, but I came to a point in my life when I first got born again where I thought, I think I'll skip the book of Acts this time as I'm reading through the New Testament because it's just history anyhow. We can't expect any of these things to happen anymore, so what's the point? Because that was the filler. That's what I was told. Come on. So I like to read the Gospels because that's cool, and into the epistles and everything else, and then try and get your head around Revelation and all that kind of gear. But book of Acts, well, what's really the point, I thought? Once you read it a couple of times, well. And why was I thinking that? Because I thought, well, if we can't expect any of these things to happen, there's not really much point at all. Then I received this baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I went back to the Word, and all of a sudden it's bum, 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 bum. You realise it's a new word. And that, as I said before, is what changed my life completely, and that will change your world. So people need to hear that. People need to hear that. This word is a now word. God's word for us is a now faith. Come on. Hallelujah. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Now is the time to receive what God has said. Hallelujah. Receive it into your heart. Does that mean you'll instantaneously receive what it promises? No, but you have a promise deposited in your heart, and God always comes true to his promises. Yes. Every promise of God is yes, yes and amen. Not just yes. Not just a wee kind of, well, yes, maybe, but we'll see how it works out. No, no, yes and amen. This is how it's going to be. Don't let go of it, because this is how it will be. In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 to 15, Jesus says, now the parable is this. He's explaining the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while. And in time of temptation or time of testing, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among, does that mean they fall away from salvation? Well, depends how you, where you stand on that one. But they fall away from the fulfillment of everything that God has. They fall away from God's plan for their life. Does that make sense? They're shifted from away from alignment with God's perfect plan for their life to another place, maybe a place of tradition. They might continue to go through the motions. They might have, they still have an element of relationship with God, but they don't put God's word first in their life anymore. And everything that happens, they just put it down to God's will for their lives. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So there's all of these different elements seeking to choke the fruitfulness of that seed of God's word that's been deposited on the inside of you. Cares. Jesus said, be anxious for
nothing.
Don't be anxious about anything. Like, nothing. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Do not be afraid. Why do you keep saying that? Because he knew how susceptible we are to being afraid and getting anxious. And riches. Whoa. I said this morning, if you hear prosperity and you instant and you first of all think about money, then you don't know what prosperity is.
Mm-hmm.
And what God's definition of prosperity is. Hallelujah. God says, I have plans for you to prosper you. What does he mean by that? Well, I want to take your life to a better place from where it is right now. I'm going to move you forward into a new place. Does that mean I'm going to have pots of money? Well, you might not. But just because you don't have pots of money doesn't mean you're not prosperous.
That's right.
I believe sometimes God just knows who he can trust with pots of money.
That's right,
yeah. I mean, it isn't God who gives everybody all the money they've got. But God knows how to bless us. He knows us very intimately and he knows what's good for us and what's not. Just like any good parent. Come on. Some of us had a few kids and you knew the ones you could give a tenner to and it would bear fruit and the ones you'd give a tenner to and it would... Is that true? Is that true? Hallelujah. But the ones that fell on the good ground and those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. It's through faith and
patience
that we inherit the promises. God deposits his promise in our heart, and sometimes we need to just be patient and trust in what? In the integrity of his word. That he does what he says, no matter how long the waiting time is, he will.
Yeah.
And that's what, see, faith, what faith does is it removes the waiting time.
Right.
Now faith removes the waiting time. When you receive his promise as a now word, it removes the waiting time. Because
yeah.
It doesn't matter how long it takes, it'll still be now.
Right.
When you receive what God said, it'll be now.
Yeah.
And when you receive his promise, you receive it as now.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the other day about, I mean, God gave me a promise. I'm trying to remember, trying to think back to when it was. I think it must have been, 1988, 16 years old. That, what's that, 2004. And I'm still waiting, but I haven't for one second doubted that what he said is what he'll do. And I'm seeing it getting closer. And I was wondering, if I needed to act now because it's got that close. Come on. Hallelujah. keep it and bear fruit with patience. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. What does Jesus say? For this year of the unashamed. This year I've been unashamed to faithfully proclaim the goodness of God, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. It says in Mark 8, 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. People don't need to hear a man's interpretation of what God has said. They don't need, as I said, sometimes even to hear too much of our personal story, because it's so subjective and it may be relevant. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit in that. How much do we share? What do we share? And with whom we share it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. Some people don't need to hear some of the ugly stuff you were involved in. I could actually damage them.
Yeah.
Come on. Some people are more sensitive than others. You tell them a part of your story that's pretty ugly, and you shut them down. They won't be able to hear another word you say. We just thought that this is what you do. You take your story and you tell it to everybody. Well, that's foolishness. Even the world knows that's foolishness. But we must never be ashamed of his word. Whatever his word says, whatever it declares, whatever it proclaims. Come on. I mean, Jesus even said to someone who was sick, do you want to be healed? It's a good question. But it's a question that most people would be afraid to ask. I've done it for years. I've assumed that everyone wants to be healed. And I've stepped over the mark, stepped beyond the leading of the Holy Spirit and said, oh, I'll just pray for you. What happened? Nothing. Nothing. Except something did happen. You know what happened? Their heart got a little bit harder. And I was responsible for that. And that's tough. We've got to learn. Got to learn to be led by the Spirit. Not everyone wants to be healed. That might sound shocking, but it's true. It's absolutely true. And I've caught myself even in recent times just going to do that, because your heart's to see everyone healed. Your heart's to see everyone saved, to see everyone healed, to see everyone delivered, everyone set free, everyone brought into that fullness of knowing God's plan for their life. And so sometimes we just jump the gun in our desperation to see it happen. And we do damage. I need to understand how we do damage. Do you want to be healed is God's word. If someone is offended at that, well, there isn't a whole lot we can do about that. Jesus said, those who are ashamed of me and my words. Come on. Oh, you can say that. Why can you not say it? It's God's word. Well, you can say it because God's word always has life attached to it. If someone receives God's word, it will always radically change their life.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Not for the worse, always for the better.
That's right.
Always for the better. If they reject it, well, they're no worse off than they were before. And they're pretty poorly off as it is. Except their heart gets a little bit harder. Well, I tell you, particularly in a place like this, that is so steeped and religious tradition, it's essential that we're even more in tune with the Holy Spirit as to what we say and when we say it and to whom we say it.
Yeah.
Because we're not here to harden people's hearts.
Yeah.
Come on. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus says this, and now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. I've read that already, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So, anyway, as I said before, what really changed the course of my life was receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit and discovering the integrity of God's word. So here's my testimony in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream... So what he heard, his story is exactly the same as the other guys in the sense that he heard. He heard exactly the same words. It wasn't that he had never had an opportunity to hear. He heard the same words, but he did nothing with what he heard. It's like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Immediately it collapsed. It just fell apart. It vaporized. And the ruin of that house was great. So here we get this connection between hearing and doing. So what I discovered in my life was that in order to regain the integrity of God's word, you have to dig down deep. You have to dig down deep through the silt of tradition, the doctrines of men, and past experience.
Yeah.
You have to, and the word of God will do that if you let it. We don't just have a superficial reading. We don't have what someone else's take on it. Some of the things that have really damaged people a lot is commentaries. Why? Because you've got no revelation there. I've shared this for many, many years now, because God showed it to me. In fact, I believe you can even find this in that parable of the sower. When the preacher preaches, he is bringing... When I'm standing here right now, I'm bringing to you information. What does a seed contain? Genetic information. I'm bringing you information. But the information comes from my revelation. But I cannot bring to you my revelation and that change your life. It doesn't work that way. But everybody's running around trying to get someone else's revelation, because they think they can just get this instant transfer of revelation. No, it doesn't work that way. From the very beginning, there's been seed time and harvest. God says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Now, you can keep a packet of seeds, because I tried it. Someone saw the state of our garden one time, the non-existent garden, and sent us lovely people from somewhere down the south of England where the sun always shines, sent us 3 packets of seeds. With what beautiful pictures on the front of colourful flowers and blooms. It was just awesome. So I stuck them in a drawer in the kitchen. And 18 or 19 years later, I put them in the bin. Because it was time to clean out that drawer. Now, Janet would have done something much more productive with them. Because she lives in Benside where the sun shines too. But you see, I saw the picture. I even opened one of the packets once, and there were these horrible, ugly, wee brown things in there. And so these seeds, unless somewhere out in the landfill out there in Minibank, there's these beautiful flowers come up, I don't know. But they never fulfilled their destiny. Why? Because I didn't do anything with them. What you're supposed to do with them. When the word of God comes, when this information comes, you know, it's supposed to grab your attention. But it's not revelation for you. Information must become your meditation. You've got to pull it down into your heart, into your spirit. And then begin to think upon it, to meditate upon it. And information, if you allow that information to become your meditation, that will produce revelation. Amen? It will become your revelation. Now, your revelation is what you can do something with. But it doesn't end there. Then, as it becomes your revelation, you've got to make it your application. You've got to take it and apply it. Take that revelation and apply it to the situations that are threatening your life, wherever they're coming from, whatever they are. Because the word of God has an answer to all of your problems.
That's right.
Every last one. Guaranteed answer, solution. And if you will make that revelation your application, you will 150% of the time, and more, for such a thing, you will discover that it will result in transformation. Supernatural transformation of your situation. Just as if I had planted these seeds in good ground, I would have seen what was on the picture at the front come up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it would have been very beautiful. Come on. Except the sheep would have eaten them before they got very far. That's one of the problems we have. We put hanging baskets outside the front door and the sheep get up on their hind legs and chew them. Nasty critters. Anyway. You got to love them anyway, don't you? Anyway. Hallelujah. I went to that Maybury Gardens one time. I said, have you got anything that sheep won't eat? They said, well, no. Because they might not chew it and swallow it, but they'll bite it and spit it out, and they've wrecked it, and they breathe on it, and everything dies. So I bought plastic ones that looked pretty good, I thought. They were pretty close to real, and the sheep ate them. Now and again, I'm going round and I find one of these plastic leaves, and I'm like, come on, that's nice. Next step, electric fence. Anyway, no. That won't look very pretty. Anyway. Hallelujah. I think we have a few minutes. No, we started early today, didn't we? So I discovered that in order to, and I'm saying this, to regain the integrity. Because sometimes when we're first born again, we don't always have that revelation of the integrity of God's word. You have to dig down deep through tradition, through the doctrines of men, and even through our past experience. See, I'll say this. The wise man approaches the word of God seeking revelation. Please hear this. I'll finish with this. The wise man approaches the word of God seeking revelation because he knows this has to become revelation for him before it can result in transformation. Some people take, I've seen people take the information that I've shared and run with it and come back and say, it didn't work. And then they quell on it and they say, that stuff just doesn't work. You're just lying. You're a fraud. Come on. Maybe you're one of these people. I don't know. No, I know you're not. But the wise man approaches the word of God seeking revelation. The foolish man approaches the word of God employing his reason. Because the word of God always asks you to do things that are so contrary to the way the world trained you. Sometimes the way the world is still training you. Where do you get your information from? Come on. What is your primary source of information? BBC News 24? Any media sources? Multimedia, Facebook, all of that stuff now. Voices coming from everywhere with every kind of baloney and junk. YouTube? Christian YouTube? Dodgy. Messing with that stuff. I've seen people pull out of this church by YouTube. Yeah, tube. Oh, sorry. Oh, that was terrible. Bad, bad, bad. Couldn't resist that. I just came out of this. I'm sorry. I'll repent later. God's working on me. I'm changing, okay? Ask my wife. She'll tell you it's slow, but it's happening. God has blessed her with much patience. That's why her pet name for me is Tribulation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She calls me for dinner and I get there half an hour later. You know what I'm saying? Patience. Hallelujah. Yes, she knows it's true. You know, she says, hallelujah. What filters do you hear his word through? Do you hear a word that tells you that Jesus died, that Jesus took stripes upon his body even before he went to the cross that guarantee your healing from every sickness, every disease, every time? And do you hear that through these fillers of human reasoning and saying, well, there's no point in believing in that. And so you take what God's word promises you and you set it aside. You don't take that word and you don't receive the hope that's in that word and say, wow, that's the best news I ever heard. That's why I can't understand why you share good news with people and it's almost like it's bad news. That has confounded me for years and years and years. But because I understand that people, just where they're at, oh, something's just bounce off them. Unless they're looking for God.
That's right.
Come on. Unless they're looking to God for a solution for their problem. And if it's a physical problem, a sickness problem, if they're looking for God in regards to that problem, God will connect them because he's already looking for them. And I have seen some people take hold of that word with such enthusiasm that they always receive what God has promised. Hallelujah. It might not happen in an altar call of ba-bum, 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 or anything like that, but I'll tell you, it will always come. I shared that thing about that physical problem I had myself, and I tell you, I was surrounded by people who were telling me, you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the doctor. So in the end, they wore me down, and I went to the doctor. In fact, it was a wee doctor that used to live in there, Bank Street, just through the wee passageway there. And the doctor told me something, and I'd already done a self-diagnosis, you know, I was good at that. you don't like your self-diagnosis, have you noticed that? And he told me, and he said, well, I'll get in touch with the surgeon at the hospital, and you're going to do an operation. And I said, okay, well, is that right? And so eventually, I decided I'm still believing God. I ain't letting go, but I'll just do what they tell me to do, but I'm just going to keep believing God. And so I went down the route they were trying to direct me in. I went to the hospital for an appointment, the surgeon again just confirmed the diagnosis. And he said, we're going to have to take you in, we're going to have to give this operation. And I said, well, tell me, is this a permanent cure, or is this just a temporary repair? Because it sounds like a temporary repair to me. He said, well, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, and blah, 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 blah. And I knew that my father, what's the first thing they want to know when you go to the doctor? Your family history. My father had 3 operations for the same condition, and everyone came undone. So I said, well, and he said, well, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, thank you very much. And I walked out, and I made a decision that day. I thought, I've gone down the route, they encouraged me to go down, but I'm just going to stick with what God says. I was still in the learning process with this, but I'd come to this point in my life and I thought, either God's word has integrity or it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to come to.
Yes.
It's a very good place to come to. And I kept standing and I kept standing, and this was an incredibly painful condition. And I'd be in church at that time, I was playing guitar in church. I was playing the guitar, and this pain would hit me, and I'd want to fall on the floor and scream and roll around in agony and let everybody know how much pain I was in. I'd just keep on praising the Lord, hallelujah. And all the time I'm saying, but I know that God is my healer. I know that he will fulfill his word in my life. And I can't remember how many months it was, but it was several months. In fact, I was over in America, and I think it was the first time I was ever there. And I was in a place, and I was speaking, and I had a word, and the word was Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And people there, they couldn't really understand my accent. Maybe some of you still can't, but but they were kind of southern folks, and so I decided I have to speak southern if they're going to understand me. So I tried a wee bit of southern with them, and y'all. And anyway, so and I said, but the Holy Spirit put the reins on me. He said, I want you to share the scripture, share maybe a couple of minutes, and then I want you to invite me to come and confirm this word. And that's why, and that's hard for me, baby, to stop talking, baby. So I said, okay. I said, I shared the scripture, and anyway, talking southern can wear you out sometimes. It's kind of slow. And anyway, baby, and I shared that, and I said, well, I believe God is asking us now just to wait upon him. The Holy Spirit just came in waves. Hallelujah. And there was laughter. And there was, this is long before Toronto and all that sort of stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Be glad that God didn't just find out some things in 1994. Sorry. That's not nice. I've been in Toronto. It's awesome. Hallelujah. Anyway. And there was this young man there. And I started to pray for him, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then I felt this hand where the problem was. And God said, this is it. This is your moment. you're being healed right now. But I was too busy, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and but I'll tell you, there were some older kind of Pentecostal folks there, and they weren't getting it. I saw them over at the edge, and they were like, they weren't even experiencing what everyone else was experiencing. And so I'm still, as I say, I'm learning. And you notice these things, you're like, why could that be? Why could that be? And anyway, later that night, I thought, well, God spoke to me and he told me, I'm healed. And I could feel it, I could feel, wow. Next morning, I wake up. What did I experience? Same pain. Mm-hmm. Turned up a few notches. Mm-hmm. I had to make a decision there. Mm-hmm. Hang on a minute. God just told me I got healed. He just told me he'd done what he promised he would do. And I told that thing to go, and it went, and it's never come back. Yes, hallelujah. And that's 1990, that was. Hallelujah. Come on, something that can't bore you for another 30-odd years, you don't need to worry about. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. What are we talking about tonight? The integrity of God's word. People need to hear that. This is the year of the unashamed. Unashamedly proclaiming and declaring what God's word says. No matter how many people don't like what you're saying or don't get it. There's some people out there right now who are looking for him. And he's already looking for them. And this word will connect them. Our sympathy won't connect them. Even our compassion without a message will not. Come on. I get tired of people saying, well, you know, we need to preach the gospel without words. How can you preach the gospel without words? most ridiculous. Well, see, Francis of Assisi said, well, that explains it then. That's terrible. I've probably gone over time now. I better sit down and shut up. You know what I'm saying? You can't preach the gospel without words. Come on, look it up. It's ridiculous. But the gospel is the gospel. It's not what I think. It's not my opinion. You've heard a few of them and you've already discovered how worthless they are. It's not my opinion or your opinion. It's what God has said. People That's need to get back to that place of knowing that what God has said is what God will do. That's my testimony, and that needs to be all of our testimonies, that God will do what he has said. Not some of the time, but all of the time. And everything else ain't worth nothing in comparison to that. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you again for the integrity of your word, that you always do what you say that you will do, that we can always trust in you to do what you say you will do if we refuse to be moved from our possession of faith, of standing upon your word. When everything comes, when the storm comes, when and even beats against our house, if we'll just stand on what you have said, build our lives upon the integrity of your word, then we will always experience your faithfulness in our lives, and we will always have a testimony that simply declares not how smart we are, not how stoic we are, not how immune to pain we are, but how great you are. How great you are. Oh, hallelujah. Help us, Father, I pray, as we go into a new week, Lord, to testify of your goodness and your faithfulness and the integrity of your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.